Thank you. Thank you so much. Good evening.
Good evening.
Whoop. Okay.
Yes, sir. That was not planned. It was not willful, sir.
We've just sung a wonderful hymn about there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains. Then there was a very interesting verse we sang, verse 2, I believe. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. The dying thief rejoiced to see. He saw some things that day on the cross. Tonight we're going to ask the Lord to show us some of the things that dying thief saw. So let's just bow our hearts and we'll pray. Father, in Jesus' matchless name, we approach you, thanking you for the salvation which is so rich and free, given to us graciously in the person of your Son. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hung upon the cross. This is no fairy story. This is reality. And Lord, tonight we desperately need your help, because we're going to try to talk about the cross. Father, I need help in proclaiming this message. I need your anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray for everyone in this room that you would shut us in with thyself, and you would open our understanding and open hearts. You know each one here. You know what each one needs. You know at what stage each one is on the journey that they're making, that you've called them upon. So Father, visit us now in the proclamation of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, do we have Bibles with us? Okay, I hope so. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, 23. In Luke's Gospel, 23. Verse 39. Okay. Luke's Gospel 23, chapter 23, and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Now this is at the cross, and a malefactor there is one of the thieves. And he, when it says he railed on him, that he attacked him verbally. And so one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, the most important question that you'll ever ask in your life It's not where you're going to go to school when you grow up. Not even who you're going to marry. All these things are important. But the most important question anybody can ever ask is how? Listen, it's how can a sinful person like me find right standing before the all-holy God? So a lot of people, you know, don't even ask that question. Never even think about that question. And yet that is the most important issue for us to settle. How can we as sinners find right standing, obtain right standing before the all-holy God? We're going to speak about that tonight, and we're going to see it illustrated in this great story that we have read tonight on the dying theme. When Jesus died, he was hanging between two criminals. There were three crosses. Jesus is in the center cross, and he's flanked on either side by two vile men. We don't know exactly everything they had done. Thieves, robbers, murderers, whatever. There should have been three thieves executed. There was a fellow called Barabbas. His was the center cross. But it was vacated because he was allowed to go free. And Jesus was put on that center cross. But when I look at that center cross, do you know who should have been on there? Not Barabbas, me. I should have been on there. And I don't want to get too theological, but there's a real sense in which I was. Because Jesus died in my place. He took my sins in his own body on the tree. However, moving along with this, Jesus is in the midst of sinners. And this is the story of Jesus' life. He was always in the midst of sinners. He was always, you know, he got into trouble for hanging out with sinners. And you know, there's something terribly, terribly wrong in the church today because we will not talk to sinners socially. Well, we'd say hello to them, but we wouldn't hang out with them. Oh, I don't want to be infected by that. Or maybe what would the people in the church say? But Jesus was accused of being a friend of sinners, and he eats with publicans and sinners. Yeah, he did. He was always in the midst of sinners, not to become like them, but to tell them about the salvation which was in him alone. What a Savior. And so we've seen tonight, just as we've read this, a wonderful drama unfolds before us. The drama of the triumph of grace. And we see in this story how Jesus masterfully, by his power, takes one man to heaven. And it's wonderful. Now, before we deal with how Jesus gave grace to this one dying thief, let's just consider for a moment the people around the cross. Did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, all the big, brave, hardy men, except John, all the disciples, ran away? But you know who stayed? The women. And can I tell you, girls, sometimes the best men that the Lord has are the women. Yeah, you remember that. They were loyal and faithful, and they did not back down in the face of their master being taken. They were there, stuck with him right through to the end, loyal to the end. And then, you see, if you read all the passages and put them together, you see that here's people, and they're shouting at him, "Come down from the cross, Jesus, come down from the cross. And if you'll come down from the cross, we'll believe on you. We'll just come down now." But you know something? It's because he stayed on the cross that we believe on him. Not because he came down from the cross. It's because he stayed there. He loved us enough to go to the cross, to pay for us, to take the wrath of God. You know, that's what he was doing on the cross. The wrath of God. God's punishment which should come against us. Why would God punish anyone? God hates sin. God, he's so pure. We sometimes just don't understand that. Because he's so pure, and we're not. And God hates sin, and it's a violation against him, and he must punish sin. And that's why Jesus went to the cross for his people. To take our place. To take our place. And he stayed there. And there were no limits to his love for his people. And so here's the Lord Jesus hanging between two thieves. But he only takes one of them to heaven. And the other, he doesn't give eternal life to. And old Charles Spurgeon, by the way, he was a preacher in England many years ago. And he said a lot of very wise things. But he said something like this about that. He said there were two thieves. One was saved so that no one need despair, but only one of the two was saved so that no one would presume. Very wise. Don't presume upon the grace of God. Don't presume. My dear friend, don't presume because, oh yeah, I go to church. I'm in a good church and they preach the word in my church. Don't presume that you're saved. I'm not here to cause instability. But don't just presume because I'm a nice, clean living. Oh, yes, and I don't do the things that all the other people do. No, wait a minute. Don't ever presume upon the Lord. But this one thief that we're talking about tonight, in the last few moments of his life, he saw a flood of revelation, a wonderful flood of spiritual vision given to him by the Lord. You know the first thing that he saw? He saw the first thing was that he was a sinner. How do you get that? Well, verses 40 and verse 41. Look at it with me. I hope your Bible's still there. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, and we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing." Unless this man starts to see, I'm a sinner, I'm dying here, I'm being executed justly. You know, that's an odd thing. Have you ever done any jail ministry? And I've done a lot of talking to people who've been in trouble with the law. It's very hard to find any of them that are guilty. They say, I didn't do it. Oh, no, I'm an innocent man. Here's a man, he says, I'm dying justly. I deserve this. You know what's happening? He's starting to see. He's a sinner. And that's the first thing. When the Holy Spirit starts to move upon us, we start to see that we're sinners. We're sinful people. Dost thou not fear God, he says to the other one. We are receiving the just rewards or our due rewards for our deeds. Now here's the thing. Has anybody, you don't have to raise your hand in this, but have you ever done any witnessing to people? Like talking to people about Jesus, evangelizing one-on-one. I do that a lot. I do that on the streets. And especially in Ireland, when we're there, we do that in the streets in Ireland. And the interesting thing is, I have rarely, in over 30 years of ministry, I have rarely ever met somebody who says, "No, I don't sin." I've met one or two people who say that. But most people will say, "Well, yeah, I'm a sinner. But," then here's what they say, "but I've never killed anybody. But I've never done drugs. And I'm a pretty decent person." Oh yeah, but everybody sins. So that's not the kind of knowledge you need. You don't need that kind of knowledge. To know that you're a sinner, God's got to show you in your heart, deep down, that you're rotten to the core. And you don't deserve anything from God except wrath. Yeah. Woo! You say, "Well, brother, I've never felt that." Well, here's what I would say. Pray and say, "Lord, remove this mere academic knowledge that I'm a sinner." Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that we're all sinners. But we need to have a heartfelt conviction that we're a sinner. This thief begins to get this. I am deserving this. I deserve to die like this. And so I often tell people, listen, if you do not know that you are a sinner, I had a girl who was in church when I was pioneering a church one time over in Ireland. This lady, she wasn't a girl, she was a dentist. And she attended all the meetings and she said amen. She sang the choruses and the hymns and everything that got there. And after about 6-7 months, she came to me and says, "I love everything that's going on here. But there's one thing that I don't get. You keep telling us that we're sinners. I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned." That's serious. She was serious. She didn't know that she was a sinner. And she tithed, and she gave money, and she did everything. I know a lot of believers who wouldn't give you a thing. This girl, she just... But boy, I have to conclude, well, you're lost. Because, you know what? Jesus died for sinners.
Right.
He died for sinners. He didn't die for people who think they're not sinners. Now listen, if you know that you're a sinner, there's salvation. Oh, this just, this thief, he began to see that he was a sinner. And listen, nobody ever gets eternal life until they know they're a sinner. Until they know that they're lost. Have you ever known that? You say, well, I'm young. I'm talking to young people tonight. Has the Lord ever touched you? Or really convinced you that your sin has separated between you and God? Oh, I know this isn't an easy subject to talk about. You say, but sure, we're here for good time. Listen, I just want to tell you the gospel tonight. Now, I haven't told you the gospel. That's not the gospel. That's just, the gospel is good news. I'm just giving you some of the bad news first, all right? So that you understand the good news. And so, the bad news is that we are sinners. And so, Jesus Christ, here's the good news, went to the cross and was treated at the cross as if he was the worst of people who's ever lived. He was treated as if he was you. If you're one of his people, he was treated as if he was all your sins. He was treated as if he had committed those sins. As he hung there on the cross, he became the sin bearer. Oh, depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. That's what the hymn writer said. We've got to move on with this. Do you know another thing that this thief saw? He saw, number one, that he was a sinner. Number two, he saw Jesus in his perfection.
Amen.
There on the cross. Did you see? We just read it. He said, in verse 41, he said, this man, that's Jesus, has done nothing amiss. This man does not deserve to die. This man is the perfect man. He's done nothing amiss. You see, excuse me. Jesus was sinless. And it's his sinlessness. It's his sinlessness that makes him the perfect sacrifice. It's his sinlessness that makes him the suitable sacrifice, the suitable Savior. Listen, all of us are supposed to fulfill God's holy requirements. All of us are supposed to live a life to the glory of God. All of us are supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our strength, our soul, our mind. We're all supposed to do that, and not one of us has done that. Not one of us has reached God's standard. But here comes Jesus. Who is he? He's the Word of God. Who is he? He's the Word made flesh. He's God manifest in the flesh, and he comes and he takes our place and he goes to the cross. Jesus, our Savior, goes to the cross. He lives for us. He lives perfectly for us. He loved God the Father perfectly in our place. All the things that we were supposed to do, all the worship we were supposed to give, all the prayer, every prayer he prayed was perfect. Everything he said was perfect. Everything he believed was perfect. And he did it all perfectly as our substitute. And then he goes to the cross. He was suitable. He was the only. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. So let me ask you, what are you depending upon to save you? Is it that you're part of the youth group? Is it that you don't do the things that the other kids are doing at school? Good for you. Happy for you. But what is it you're depending upon? Or who is it? You see, we are... Can I tell you something? Bible Christianity, true Christianity, is the only... I don't want to call us a religion. We're not a religion. But we're the only people in the world who are resting and depending on a person who's not us, who is Jesus the Christ, the God-man. Did you know, to be a Buddhist, Do you know what you follow? What do you depend upon? The teachings of Buddha. If you're a Muslim, you follow the teachings of the Prophet. But we're not saved and given eternal life for following the teachings of the Lord Jesus. We are not depending on the teachings. We are dependent on Him. One man alone. And that's what we find so hard, to rest upon somebody who's not ourself. Another. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon His life, Christ's death, I stake my whole eternity. So let me ask you one more time, what are you depending upon? Or who are you depending upon? Okay, so this man sees that Jesus is perfect. Here's another thing. He sees that he really does need to repent. Now he's seen he's a sinner. But repentance, you can see it, that you're a sinner and not repent. But you know, if you read this passage, this same passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 32, it says, they who were crucified with him reviled him. So it means at the start, both of these thieves were reviling the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I contrast that, this man then becomes, and from a reviler, he says, he changes his mind about Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Boy, this man has gone from profanity to praying, and that's going to happen every time that repentance comes. You're going to have a change of mind, but it comes. It's a change of mind. It's not just, again, an intellectual thing, although it is intellectual. But I don't want to get too complicated here. But we believe from our heart. Yeah, we believe the facts, but we believe from our heart. And repentance is a change of mind, but it's a profound change of mind. It leads to a change of direction. And from cursing Jesus to saying, Lord, remember me. See, there's a change of mind right there. And so it's a deep, profound change of mind. Here, let me summarize it like this. You've got to plead guilty and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. That's pretty simple, isn't it? The dying thief knew this. Lord, remember me. He went from cursing to confession. Remember me. Christ, you know, died for the ungodly. And if you know that you're ungodly, then you can apply for the mercy. Unless you know you're ungodly, you're still lost. See, that's a frightening thing to say. I'm glad I'm here to say it. What else about this? Just by the way, did you know something about our Lord? He's merciful. And this thief saw, not only his need to repent, he saw the mercy of the Lord. He saw that God was merciful. Now, remember this. You know about the Old Testament, don't you? The Old Testament and New Testament. And in the Old Testament, you had Moses' law. This man, this thief, was raised under Moses' law. And under Moses' law, the scripture says that a person who died... It tells us that a person who died without, a person who despised Moses' law died without mercy. We see that in Hebrews 10 and verse 28. And so this man was a thief, a robber, a murderer. He despised Moses' law and he should not have received mercy. But listen to what the Lord says to him. The Lord God who is full of mercy for him, he said, you'll be with me in paradise. So Lord, remember me. Yes, I'll remember you. You'll be with me. That's mercy, isn't it? Oh, that's merciful. Oh, does that not give you great hope? Oh, the Lord is so merciful. Oh, yes. Let me ask you, do you need mercy? Have you ever felt that you needed mercy? Don't show me your hand. Hey, I have. Don't you get the idea, just by the way, that just because some guy stands up here and preaches that he's perfect or that he's sinless? I haven't met a sinless preacher yet. Met one once who said he was sinless. He did. The only thing was his wife didn't believe him. You know, but he thought he was. Hey, listen. This preacher, this Irish preacher, needs mercy, needs grace on an ongoing basis. And God is rich in mercy. And Jesus hung on the cross and was punished in my place. He was punished in the place of his people. The wrath of God fell upon him. The sore displeasure of the Almighty fell upon him. The old hymn says, O Christ, what burdens filled thy souls, or O Lord, were there laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. A victim led, thy blood was shed, and now there's no load for me. But you know what else this thief saw? And you're listening very well, and I know it's kind of warm and everything, do you want to fan yourself so you make sure you don't go to sleep? I don't like people going to sleep when I'm preaching. And so that's why I jump down there in the middle of you every so often, you know, make sure you're awake. David, you know what else the thief saw? He saw that when it comes to salvation, feelings have nothing to do with it. I thank God not in these churches that we're involved with, but you know, in a lot of churches, they teach you that you can't get saved unless you feel some euphoric, some exciting thing. It's all feelings. And did you feel it? Did you get it, bro? Oh, bro! And they have a big hype. They do. Hype. And you know, I used to, when I started coming around to things of the Lord, I thought, okay, God, I thought that... That's what it was all about, feeling something. And when I would try to witness to people, I didn't believe that they were getting the real thing unless they felt something. Excitement. I mean, what a load of waffle nonsense that was. Here's the thief on the cross. He gets granted eternal life. Do you think he felt good at that point? No. Do you know what? He felt awful. You don't feel good with nails in your hands. You don't feel good with nails in your feet. You don't feel good when you're stretching to breathe. He didn't feel good, but he got saved. He got eternal life by the Lord's word. Well, how did he get a hold of that salvation? If it wasn't by feelings, how did he get a hold of it? Do you want to know? Here's how you get a hold of it. Faith. 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 Somebody said faith means forsaking all. I trust him. That's not bad. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's not perfect. But you know what he did? He took the Savior at his word. The Lord promised him eternal life and he believed him. Amen. There it is. Jesus said it. We believe it. Isn't that simple? That's faith. Well, what has Jesus said to us? I'll tell you what he said to us. He said, my sheep hear my voice. He says, I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Hello, have you ever heard that? And they shall never perish. Did you hear that? Jesus says, I've got a gift for you. It's eternal life. That's eternal life. You will never perish. My sheep hear my voice, and I am persuaded that that's one of, they're all great verses, but there's no missionary can go on the mission field without that verse, because there's sheep out there who hear the gospel, and we don't make them into sheep by preaching the gospel. Gentlemen, senior members of this august congregation tonight, we don't change people from goats into sheep. You're a sheep, and if you're a sheep, you'll hear the word and you'll get the gift. But you were a sheep before you got the gift. And I just had to throw that in because I'm fed up with people telling me that I was a goat and then I became a sheep. Can't happen. Did you know that? This is not too deep for you. It can't happen. Sheep are sheep before they're saved. But because you're one of God's sheep, he saves you. And you know how you know? You hear his voice. Oh, where do you hear his voice in the gospel? Say, there's something right about that. I don't maybe understand it, but there's something right about that. I know I'm a sinner, and Jesus has died for me. You may not get all the theology right, but you know that you can cast yourself upon him. And so, not only that, this thief saw something else very important. And we're coming close to the end of this message, so we'll soon be dismissing you. But this thief saw that Jesus was his only hope. This dying thief is left with trusting Christ alone. Why? Because there's nothing else he could trust in. He's hanging on a cross. He's looking at the Savior. Now, there's a lot of folks think that if I can do good works, if I can just be good enough, God will take me to heaven. Well, this thief couldn't do any good works. Do you know why? He's hanging on a cross. There's no good works that he can do. Some people say, well, if I'm a member of such and such a church, if I'm just a good church person, I'll get to heaven. Well, this thief couldn't join a church. He wasn't a member of any church. He couldn't join a church. Why? Because he's hanging on the cross. Well, some people say, yeah, but you know what? I'm going to go to heaven because I got baptized. You know, if you're a believer, I'm all for it. All for it. But baptism can't get you to heaven. Here's the thief hanging on the cross. He doesn't get baptized. He can't get baptized. It's an impossibility. He can't say to the centurions and the Romans, excuse me a minute, Mr. Roman soldier, could you let me off for a wee while so I can go and get into a tub of water and get baptized and join the church. And while I'm at it, let me take a few of the sacraments. No, he's hanging on the cross. He can't do anything of that. He's left confronted with Jesus. Only Christ alone. Is Christ alone enough to trust? Is he enough to trust? Can you trust him? Are you going to trust in all the good things you've done? Do good things. Be good. But what you trust in is that Christ alone. That's who this is where this thief was. Christ alone is his only hope. This man gets saved without sacraments and baptism and church membership and doing good works. His profanity had changed to praying. His cursing had changed to confession. He confessed that Jesus was the Lord. Lord, remember me. Lord, the Kyrios in the Greek. That means the ruler of the cosmos. He's got a kingdom. What amazing faith has taken possession of this man to see these things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this man is given eternal life without doing anything, without going anywhere. Jesus didn't say, now listen, you want to, yeah, I remember you when you come into my kingdom if you'll do this and that. No, Jesus didn't say that. Because the man couldn't do anything because he's nailed to the cross. This man is nailed to the cross. He had hands, yes. They had once been used for violence. But those hands could not do anything for Jesus, for they're nailed to the cross. His feet had been swift to run after mischief. And those feet couldn't take him anywhere for the Lord. For those feet are nailed to the cross. His sin had made him a prisoner. Did you hear that? His sin had made him a prisoner, and sin will make you a prisoner. This dying thief saw, however, Christ alone. He'd never seen a man like Jesus. Do you know something? I want to finish this off here, but do you know something? Now listen to this. This man, I have no doubt, had seen all a man die. He's a bad man. But he'd never seen anybody die like Jesus. He'd never seen that before. Oh no. And you know, Jesus had been ministering for 3 years and had done miracles and wonders and signs in the land. And everybody had heard of Jesus. I mean, people talked about Jesus. This man, I know this man knew who Jesus was. You'd have had to have been living in a cave somewhere to not know who Jesus was after 3 years of him ministering there. But you know, hearing about miracles, hearing about healings, hearing about people being raised from the dead, hadn't moved this man. Hadn't taken his hard heart and softened it. What softened him? He saw the Lamb of God dying.
Amen.
Oh, the Lamb of God who was prophesied from the beginning, who would take away our sin, the sin of the world being the Jews and the Gentiles. Listen, the only way of salvation is through the one who was hanging there in the midst. Do you know why Jesus was put in the midst? Because as I said at the beginning, that was the cross reserved for the worst criminal. And they did it deliberately. They put him in the midst, and that was the hand of God, because Jesus was treated. I didn't say he was. I said he was treated as the worst criminal who'd ever live. The worst murderer who'd ever live. The vilest person. Do you know why? Because he took the sins of his people. Are you one of his people? He took your sins. He was treated like he was you. He was punished, hammered in our place, in their stead. And this man who gets saved is not a religious man. Did you know that religion does more harm than good when it comes to getting into heaven? So let me just say it again. Being a member of a church is the right thing, but it'll not save you. Being baptized is the right thing, but it won't save you. Doing good works is the right thing, but it won't save you. The only way to be saved, to get eternal life, is by faith alone in Christ alone. He's the one who was crucified. He's the one who was buried. He is the one who is risen from the grave. He's alive forevermore. Call upon him. He hears you. Do you know what? He's not away up there, although he is, but he's here right now. Call upon him. He's alive. He's not in some grave somewhere. He'll save you. What did this thief do? Nothing. He believed. No works, no action, nothing. You know what? God is perfectly righteous, and he cannot look with favor upon unrighteousness. Romans 3:10 says there's none righteous, no, not one. So what does this thief do to obtain his righteousness? Nothing but believe on the Lord. And the Lord Jesus became his righteousness. His righteousness was reckoned to him. He couldn't get off the cross to do anything, but he saw he was a sinner. Remember that? I'm going to summarize what we just said. We're finished now, okay? This man saw he was a sinner. Do you know the greatest sin in the whole world is to reject Jesus? Because you're rejecting God. This is God's wisdom, God's plan, God's perfection is in Jesus. And when you reject Jesus, you're rejecting God. And you're making it, you're saying, I don't need you. I don't need you. You're setting yourself up as greater than God. So this man sees that he's a sinner. Then he sees that Jesus is perfect. This man has done nothing amiss. Listen, let me tell you, you can trust Jesus with your destiny. He was the only suitable and qualified Savior because he was the perfect substitute. You can trust him with your destiny. You know what Jesus did? He reaped what we had sown there at the cross. And then he saw that he needed to repent. And the reason so many people, humanly speaking, go to hell is they refuse to admit that they're a sinner, that they're sinners. But you know what sin earns? It earns the death penalty. Let me tell you, don't go to sleep on me. Sin earns the death penalty. But Christ has died for sinners and has taken that death penalty for his people. God is just. God is holy and has a revulsion against sin, against those who rebel against him. God is angry with the sinner every day. We don't hear that too much. We think, oh, well, sin doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter. It matters. Jesus went to the cross. Now will you flee for mercy to Jesus and him alone as your only hope This man saw that his feelings had nothing to do with it. Somebody has said you got to wait until you're blinded by the light. No, you don't. You really don't. What you need to do is to know that you need mercy. You might feel awful. Feelings might come into it. But you call out for mercy. God will give you that desire. God will put that in your heart. Call to Him for mercy. Believe on Him. Call on Him. Embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, this man saw that Jesus was his only hope. I said his only hope. If you're putting your hope in pastors, you've got your hope in the wrong place. Pastors will fail you. Well, I don't mean the brothers who are here, but I'm telling you, I know the history. If you put your trust in man can fail you. You got to put your trust in Christ alone. He will never, ever fail. Put your trust in the church? No, because the church can fail you. It can disappoint you. It can hurt you. But Jesus won't. You've got to trust Christ alone, yesterday, today, forever. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Thank you so much for listening to me. Would we just bow our hearts for a moment of prayer? Father, I've done my best, which is a very poor best, to try to explain that salvation is in Your Son. Lord, only You, by Your Spirit, can press that home to every heart here. Lord, if there's someone here who's one of Your sheep, but not a believing sheep, away from the fold, would You draw them in over these next 3 days? In Jesus' name. Amen, Pastor.